The early history of the tenor saxophone has been neatly divided into three categories for many years now. There was the Coleman Hawkins school of full-tone tenor men who played aggressively on top of the beat. Then there were the disciples of Lester Young, who were more concerned with space and a floating rhythmic sense. The third category contained Bud Freeman and Dick Wilson, whose originality excluded them from either Young or Hawkins' camp. It now appears, however, that the evolution was more complex than that. Take the work of Herschel Evans, for one. Long before it became a fashionable adjective, Evans was the personification of soul. Evans was born in Denton, Texas in 1909 and transcended the Hawkins influence early in his career. Later, he even influenced Hawkins. Evans played in the top bands in Texas and by the early 30s had found his way to Kansas City. KC was a mecca for the Southwest's best musicians, and Evans soon found himself playing with Benny Moten, the best band in town. Coleman Hawkins was passing through as the featured soloist with Fletcher Henderson's band in 1933 when a now-famous jam session took place at the Cherry Blossom Cafe. There Hawkins was bested for the first time by the local tenor men Lester Young, Ben Webster, and Herschel Evans. One of Hawkins' greatest solos, Hocus Pocus, was recorded just months after this legendary battle and has been credited with giving birth to the Southwestern style of tenor playing. But a close examination of his playing suggests he picked up those sounds from Herschel Evans in Kansas City. This is Hawkins before Kansas City. And after. After a spell on the West Coast, Evans joined Count Basie's band in the summer of 1936. He was a big factor in the band's success, and after they came to New York, he was sought after for all-star record sessions. His solos on those records, along with the many classics done with the Basie band, have earned him a prominent place in the pantheon of jazz. When Harry James made his first recordings, he hired fellow Texan Herschel Evans as a featured soloist. Here are three of his solos from that date, Life Goes to a Party, Penthouse Serenade, and the 1 o'clock jump. Evans's blues-drenched sensibility was enhanced by his proximity to the Basie band's other star tenorist, Lester Young, and they fed off each other every time they played. Their tenor battles are legendary, and although they are always thought of as musical opposites, listen how cohesive they are on Panassier Stomp. Here's Evans. And Young. Evans' influence on subsequent generations of saxophonists is easily traced. He was a primary inspiration to Illinois Jacquette, whose most famous solo, Flying Home, contains an 8-bar quote from Evans' solo on Texas Shuffle. Here is Evans. And now listen to Jacquette. Chiquette then set the stage for the honking tenor players of the 50s and beyond. By far, Herschel's most famous solo was on the Basie record of Blue and Sentimental. He brought a new approach to the jazz ballad. Evan suffered from a weak heart, and the years on the road, with the lack of proper food and rest, caught up with him in January 1939. After collapsing on the bandstand, he was hospitalized and passed away shortly after on February 9, 1939, at the age of 30. But through his recordings and his disciples Buddy Tate and Illinois Jacquette, we can appreciate the magnitude of this soulful giant of jazz.